The following was at New Valley Meeting, the third Sunday in September 1969.
In speaking somewhere recently, perhaps on, I don't know now, I don't remember, but I remember reading or quoting something from Peter in his second epistle in the first chapter, wherein he said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." My thought for the last little bit has been upon these two verses here, that he had not used cunningly devised fables, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, and cites two occasions or instances in which it was said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the other occasion was when Jesus took Peter and James and John up into the mountain, and there was transfigured, one of the writers called it, transfigured before them. I'd like, the Lord willing, to mention some of the things in connection with it, hoping that your thoughts and your mind might also be directed by the Spirit of our God into the same direction. So now let us look to the Lord in the word of prayer. We come once again, gracious Father, as thou hast been pleased to gather a few of thy believing people together at this place once again. Whether we know for ourselves, being eyewitnesses, a prayer is want to be made here. And our fathers have told us that for many years, that thy people, as they gathered here, will want to come before the throne of their God and there to pray unto him in the name of Jesus that his will be done. We feel assured, O Lord, that thou hast ordained that we are gathered together here as we are this morning, that thou hast opened up the way, furnished the way and the transportation, put it into our hearts to come together with our brethren, with whom we have love and fellowship, there humbly desiring to worship our God and to exalt his name, praise his name, lift it up above every name that has ever been named. All for the reason, O Lord, that thou hast been gracious and merciful unto us, having looked upon us with pity and compassion when we were dead in trespasses and in sin, and were without God and without hope in the world. And thou didst send forth thy Spirit into our hearts, making us and causing us to see what vile sinners we were in the sight of the only true and the living God, realizing that we were unworthy even of his notice, because we were terrible transgressors against his law. But thou, Lord, in thine infinite wisdom and purpose, and according to that great love that thou hast loved thy people with, was pleased to send forth thy Spirit when thou hadst brought us to see our need. Send forth thy Spirit, cause us to be born of thy Spirit, and for the first time to see the kingdom of God. For the first time to have any hope or relief from that burden of sin that is weighing us down. Oh, what a gracious God thou art. that even when we were dead in sins, thou didst send forth thy Son to deliver us from our sins and our iniquities, and to give us hope and assurance that though we were vile sinners, yet thy great love comprehended, and even before the world began, thy purpose to send forth thy Son here to redeem thy people, whom thou hast chosen in him to redeem them from all their sins. Lord, we come together this morning desiring, if it is thy will, that thou would pour out thy Spirit in our hearts and we might feel thy presence. Because we know that thou art worshipped only in spirit and in truth. And in the absence of thy Spirit, in the absence of the quickening power of thy Spirit, and the enabling power of thy Spirit, we are but as dry sticks, unable to come forth of ourselves to the praise and the honor of him who has done so much for us. Thou hast made us to know in days past, O Lord, that God is worshipped only in spirit and in truth. For he seeks such to worship him as do worship him in spirit and in truth. We feel therefore, O Lord, to pray unto thee, if it is according to thy will, that thou wilt enable us this day to forget for a while all the things of our fleshly nature, the things that trouble us, give us trial, temptation, sorrow, and affliction, that we might be stirred up in our pure minds by way of remembrance of the promises that thou hast made unto us, and other promises that thou didst give holy men of old, as they wrote, as thou didst move them, that we might be enabled, Father, for a little bit, a little while, to look beyond life and death, rejoice that we have that assurance, that hope in us, that though we live and must die, yet thou hast provided, yea, thou hast arranged all the matter that we shall live again. Only now, Lord, we realize we're in this time world and we need thy grace, thy mercy every hour and every moment. We have learned that we're not able of ourselves to do anything of ourselves that is right and good in thy sight. We know that it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. The way is not in us. And so, Lord, we are dependent upon thee for all things, whether they be to live or to die, whether it be to have the things that are necessary to sustain our mortal life. We are dependent upon thee for them. And whether, O Lord, when we come to the hour and the moment of our departure, that we shall have thy presence, peaceful presence of our God, so that we shall not be afraid to go hence, but rather feeling the desire to go and be with our Lord, who has been so gracious to us while we live, and who has given us assurance that his grace has been and is sufficient for us while we live, and we have this confidence that it shall be sufficient when we come to die. No, Lord, thou knowest what each one of us that are here bowed now in thy presence need. And thou knowest we come with our feeble petitions oft times, praying for grace to help in every time of need. And sometimes, O Lord, it seems that our prayers do not enter before thy throne. And we feel no wonder often, because we're such unworthy subjects of thy grace. But, O Lord, we pray thee to hear us in the name of our blessed Redeemer. Hear us for that atonement, O Lord, that he made for thy people. Because we come not in our own name or strength, we come rather in the name of, in the righteousness of Jesus, our beloved Savior, and pray unto thee that thy will be done. And with grace, O Lord, if it is thy will, that we should be reconciled to whatever thy will and thy pleasure is concerning each one of us, that in the midst of our afflictions and sorrows that thou wouldst give us patience, O Lord, to run the race that is set before us, and being blessed to ever look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who has done so much for us, done such great things for us, because of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the throne of our God, his Father on high. O Lord, keep us in this unfriendly world. Give us grace, if it seems good to thee, that we might continue to contend earnestly for the faith that thou hast once delivered to thy saints, and not to be blown about by every wind of doctrine, not to use deceitful things in upholding and contending for thy truth, because thy truth, O Lord, needs nothing deceitful. It needs nothing except the truth itself to give joy and peace and consolation unto thy people as they travel here in this world. So, Father, if it seems good to thee, remember each one of us in thy mercy. Be with us in the trials of life. Choose our changes for us. And then at last save us, if it is according to thy will, we beg for Jesus' sake. It seems to be to me, and I have thought about it so much at the time, that though the Lord was gracious and merciful unto his disciples in that day, and especially as we read from the pen of the apostles and the other writers in the New Testament, how the wonderful and glorious things that God did for them in the person of his Son, and yet they were not until after the day of Pentecost fully brought to know the reason or the purpose of the coming of Jesus into the world. And we see oft times their carnality, as it was made manifest in their questionings and in their doubts and in their fears. They together, that is the apostles together, and perhaps we would could properly include all of his disciples in the day when Jesus was here. They did not know, as I said, the real purpose of Jesus coming into the world. They had the traditions of the fathers still in them for a while, until the day of Pentecost, so that while they looked for the Messiah, whom the fathers and whom the writers in the Old Testament told them about, who should come, they were looking for him. But when he came, they were given, that is, his disciples, who were born of the Spirit of God, not born of the flesh of men, they were given to realize that Jesus is the Christ, that Messiah that should come. But the fullness of the reason he came, they didn't understand. You will recall, I believe, with me, that upon occasions they asked the Savior if he would then restore the kingdom of Israel, because that's what they were expecting. And while they knew to some degree at least, and could testify with Peter as he testified when Jesus asked him, "Whom do ye say that I am?" Peter testified, speaking for the brotherhood, for all the brethren. He said, "Art thou Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus told him, as you recall, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, For flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And it was upon this rock that Jesus said to him, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to remark right there that contrary to the belief and the feelings and the teachings of many people, Jesus was not saying that it was upon Peter that he was building the church, but rather upon this rock. And upon every occasion, every instance that I know anything about in the scriptures, that speaks of the rock, he's speaking of the rock of Israel, the rock that followed his people through the wilderness, the spiritual rock. He was talking in every instance of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it was upon himself, as he said to the Gentile brethren, they were built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. And so the church was built upon Jesus because his people were in him, because they were chosen in him by his Father, by God the Father, before the world began. So that everything that Jesus did while he was here in the world, he did according to the will of the Father, and for the purpose of redeeming the whole church, all the brethren, all the elect of God from all their sins, and bring about for them that atonement whereby these brethren, these chosen elect of God, were vile sinners and not fit that God should look upon them in that state. And yet by reason of that great love that God had for them, he sent his Son here in the likeness of their flesh and without sin, that he, by dying in their flesh, should redeem them from all of their sins. Because God is a God unchangeable, and he demanded perfect obedience to that law which he gave to Adam and Eve before, in the very beginning. That law was never taken away, done away with. Never was abrogated in that sense. But it had to be, it was the will of the Father that it must be fulfilled. But his people were not able to fulfill it. They were not able to keep one precept, much less fulfill the law. And yet the love of God was, as you know, that he sent his only begotten Son here to fulfill that law for them. And Jesus said and testified himself, you recall, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And that's what he did. So it was upon himself, it was upon this rock, that I will build my church, and the gates of hell, that is a stronghold of Satan, shall not prevail against it. In every instance that we have in the scriptures, whether we see the terrible things that the devil or Satan wrought among the Lord's people, we see the power of God putting down that spirit, putting down that authority that the devil had as the prince of the power of the air. And therefore, being unchangeable, God still today has the same power, the same authority over everything that comes up ever against the church of the living God. We may realize that it is but few in these days that confess the name of Jesus. That is, that he is the Savior of the church of the living God. Comparatively few people today believe in the sovereignty of God, that he works his will, yet in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, just the same as he ever did. And so it is for this reason he is being an unchangeable God. With him there's no variableness, neither the shadow of eternity. Therefore, the church is just as safe and just as sure and secure today as they ever were from the beginning of God's determination. We don't have a beginning in that. But from the time, and we don't have no time in it, but when God determined to send forth his Son here into the world to redeem his people, they're just as safe and sure today in that sense as they were in the beginning. God said to Israel, and you remember in Malachi, that he was an unchanging God, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Yes, it was upon this rock, Jesus, having all power, as he told us after he was resurrected from the dead, all power both in heaven and in earth is given into my hands. And so he rules and reigns today. If you're concerned, as I am often concerned, about the fewness of those who come confessing what the Lord has done for them, that faith that is God-given says in our poor hearts, it's God's will. And it is just exactly according to God's will today. And the devil is, however powerful he may appear to be, in working in wars and rumors of wars and all the things that disturb the nations, and especially our nation as I think about it, he shall go so far, and then he shall stop at the command of God, because he shall then have accomplished all the purpose that God had in him. He shall stop. He can't go any further. Just as God said through Moses, thus far shalt thou come. There thy proud ways shall be stayed. And so whatever may seem to be against us, and so against us, by all the worldly things and the worldly institutions and the devil himself being at the head of those things, God still rules. And God still knows what his people need. And he still gives them. He still gives them what they need. And I've rejoiced often in the face of sometimes it seemed improbable things. I rejoiced in the face of the fact that here and there and yonder, the brethren being few, and yet God gives some grace, that they're still contending earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I think about this in Canada, when we first went there 40 years ago next month. The buildings were large, the one we were at that time, as I recall, were large and overflowing with the brethren, with their faces lifted eagerly to hear the word of God, hear the truth as it is in Jesus. That word of God is still being preached, Elder Rustin. Is still, by the grace of God, contending for that same faith. And I rejoice that it is so. And then we came down into the Catskills Election and Roxbury Association, where that when we first went there, probably 20 years ago, I don't know when, how long, that there were many, many, many congregated in the churches. And now, were it not for the brethren who visit there from a distance, they would have no meeting. And yet, in spite of the feebleness of Elder Slauson, he's yet able to go, and yet in his manner and way the Lord blesses him, he contends also earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We are acquainted in Maine, of course, and we have marveled for several years that the Lord sustained them in their fewness to hold their associations. Now many of them have passed away, and they're not able to hold their meetings. And yet, in their letters, and when we speak with those who have been there lately, we see that God is still upholding the same faith that was ever there.